The Aruch Laner in his Hakdama to Masechta Nida brings down the Zayar, which says that Mashiach will come to us Ka'ani Reichev Al HaChamor. And Ani, Ayin Nun Yud, stands for the three most difficult Masechtas in Shas, Erevin, Nida, and Yevamos. I.e., Mashiach will come in the Schus of those in Klal Yisrael who are Amal Bataira in these very difficult Masechtas, Erevin, Nida, and Yevamos. An important sefer, which can simplify Masechtas Erevin, is a sefer called Perush Chai, which beautifully illustrates all the important klalim, daf by daf, in our Masechta. If you look at each picture, the Masechta comes alive visually and makes it much easier to comprehend. Let us begin our introduction to this Masechta with a summary of the Dalad Rishuyais, the four types of domains which exist. Before we discuss these, we should mention a number of measurements which we're going to use throughout the entire Masechta. When we say tefach, we mean a measurement of about 3.8 inches. And when we mention amma, we mean a measurement of about 22 inches, which is actually equal to about 6 tvachim, or almost 2 feet. We know that it is osur to carry on Shabbos, and haitza, carrying, means to transport an object from a rishus hayachid, a private domain, to a rishus harabim, an open public domain, or to be able to carry vice versa. Transporting from a private domain to a public domain is called haitzah, carrying out, while carrying in reverse is called hachnasa, carrying in. In addition, we know that it's osur to carry any distance of dalet amos within a rishus harabim. Now let's define these different rishuyas. There are four of them. There is a rishus harabim, a public domain, a rishus hayachit, a private domain, a karmelis, which is a semi-public domain, and a makam ptur, an area which is not called a domain at all. A rishus harabim is an area that is both suitable and also actually used by a multitude of people. For example, a road running through a city. In order for something to be considered a rishus harabim, you need the following qualifications. Number one, the area or the road must be at least 16 amas wide. Number two, the area must not be covered, but has to be opened from above. Number three, the area must not be surrounded by walls. And finally, number four, the area must be used by a multitude of people. Later on, we're going to discuss what this multitude means, but many shitas hold that the road has to be used by at least 600,000 people. The second area is an area called a rishus hayachid, a private domain. A rishus hayachid is an area suitable for use by an individual because it's enclosed. A house or a garden are typical forms of a rishus hayachid. The qualifications of a rishus hayachid are as follows. The overall ground area must be at least 4x4 tvachim. Number two, the area must be surrounded by walls. It has to be enclosed by walls that are at least 10 tvachim high on all four sides. And finally, number three, a rishus hayachid does not have to necessarily be privately owned, even if it's publicly owned, but if it meets these qualifications, it's still called a rishus hayachid. Area number three is called a karmelis, and this is an innovation of Chazal. Min HaTorah, there is really only a rishus hayachid and a rishus harabim. However, Chazal upgraded an area which has a ground area of at least 4x4 tvachim and made it into a new type of domain called a karmelis. Examples of a karmelis would be a road which lacks the specifications of a rishus harabim and therefore is called a karmelis. For example, it's less than 16 amas wide, or it runs under a bridge and therefore is covered. Also, the wilderness and the ocean, since they aren't frequented by a lot of people, are also called a karmelis. An area which is min ha-tayra rishus hayachid, it's surrounded by three walls, but it's not walled in by the fourth side. This could also be called a karmelis. Finally, a makam ptur is a tiny area of less than 4x4 tvachim, which is within a rishus harabim. For example, a garbage can, which is standing in a rishus harabim, this would be called a makam ptur. We know that min ha-tayra it is osur to carry in any area defined as a rishus harabim. Chazal extended this isur to include any unenclosed area, including a karmelis. However, if any area is not a full-fledged rishus harabim midaraisa, we are allowed to enclose that area by building what we call an eruv. What we call an eruv is really a device called a tzuris ha-pesach, literally, the form of a doorway. A lechi, which is a vertical pole on the left, another lechi on the right, and a kana, a horizontal beam or a wire on top, connecting the two L'chayayim. Our Masechta is divided into three parts. The first two prakim deal with the halachas of machitzas, a key feature of a rishus hayachid, as we mentioned before, a private domain, is the fact that there are partitions which surround it. Obviously, every enclosed area must have ways to get in and out. The issues discussed are how large or small these entrances can be, and when a break in the wall is called an entrance, versus when it is called a pirtza, a break, which may passel that machitza. The third, fourth, and fifth parak deal with eruvei tchumin. Min haTorah, we know that on Shabbos, it is also for a person to walk more than 2,000 amas. The 2,000 amas border is called his Tchum Shabbos, and it is calculated from the place that he was at Bein HaShemashos, the Mokum Shvisa. If he began Shabbos in a city, he can traverse the entire city, and the 2,000 amma calculation only begins from the city limits, going out to the countryside. It is possible, however, for a person to formally establish his Mokum Shvisa in a place other where he actually is standing. This is done by making an Erev Tchumen at a location up to 2,000 amas away from the place that he actually is by the time of Bein HaShemashos. And this legally establishes his Mokum Shvisa at that location and enables him to go from his actual location to that point and 2,000 amas beyond that point. This, of course, does not give him more than 2,000 amas, which is the limit. It merely shifts the point from where it's actually measured. And there's two ways to create an Erev Tchumen. Number one, by going to that place and staying there until Shabbos begins. And number two, placing a specific amount of food at that location before Shabbos. The place where the food has been placed now becomes his Makom Shvisa. The rest of the Masechta deals with the halachas of Eruvei Chatzeres. In addition to building an Eruv, i.e. a Tzuras HaPesach, if a group of homes is owned by many Jews, it is necessary to make an Eruv Chatzeres. This procedure allows us to view all the houses opening into a chatzer as owned by a single consortium of people, composed of all the residents of the chatzer. This is accomplished by collecting a loaf of bread before Shabbos from each of the dwellings which open into that chatzer and placing it in one of those homes for the duration of the Shabbos. This then symbolizes that all the contributing residents are legally residing in one dwelling, the place where they left their bread. In the times of the Mishnah, several homes would open up into one chatzer, into one courtyard, which would be shared by many people. Then, several chatzeros would open up into a mavoi, a small alleyway, which would then lead onto a main street, which is the Rishus HaRabim. You can still see this type of a setup of chatzeros and mavoyes in parts of Yerushalayim, or in the ghetto in Venice, Italy. Now, there were two different types of mavoyes. One was a mavoi Mefulash, and one was a Mavoi Sasum. When you walk through this passageway, obviously, on both sides of the passageway, as you walk through the passageway, to the left and to the right, there were walls. These were the backs of houses, or the backs of courtyards. But if the Mavoi was Mefulash, that meant that there was a direct passageway that led between two Rishus HaRabims. So the Mavoi was open from both ends. The two sides had walls, but both ends were open. If the Mavoi was Sasum, it meant that the Mavoi would dead-end on one side, and the other side would lead into a Rishus HaRabim. So a Mavoi Mefulash had two walls, with both ends opening up into a Rishus HaRabim, and a Mavoi Sasam had three walls, with just the fourth side opening up into a Rishus HaRabim. Min haTorah we know that the Isser of Haitzah on Shabbos is only Isser in carrying from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, or a Tolda of carrying within a Rishus HaRabim, Dalet Amos. Technically midaraisa, a mavoi is mutter to carry in. It's only midarabanan that it's usher to carry in a mavoi. This is because there were guys of this, they were afraid that a person would end up carrying in a Rishus HaRabim. So what could one do to create some kind of a tikkun on the open side within a mavoi to allow a person to carry? To carry in a mavoi, Chazal said you need a tikkun on the open side of the mavoi. That tikkun can be either a lechi, a vertical stick more than 10 tefachim high, adjacent to the wall of the mavoi, or a kaira, a horizontal beam across the entrance of the mavoi. In a chotzer, the chachamim were more machmer, and they said that on the fourth side you need a lechi, but not a regular lechi, the lechi has to be at least four tefachim wide, or shtei lechayayim, one lechi on each side of the fourth side which is open. For both a mavoi and a chotzer, the chachamim said you could also make a tzuras ha-pesach, the form of a door. As we mentioned before, this would be two lechayayim, one on each side, and a kana attaching them. This is what we in fact use today to make what we call an Eruf. Lechi Mikan, the Lechi Mikan, the Kera Al Gabayan, which is what we see in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Samach Beis, Sif Yud Alef. Now today when we speak about making an Eruf in a major metropolitan area, the big issue is whether the city is called a Rishus HaRabim or a Carmelis. As you mentioned before, what we call an Eruf is really a device called a Tzuris HaPesach. This Tzuris HaPesach will only work to partition a Carmelis. But if an area of a city, or if a city itself is called a Rishus HaRabim Daraisa, even this Tzuris HaPesach will not work, and it will be impossible to build an Eruf. This discussion of Rishus HaRabim is the basis for all the halachic discussions we discussed in the 1990s. And although time does not allow us to go through the dozens of shitas on this subject, let us try to cover the main points. As we will learn in Erevin Davavam and Beis, the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Babar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Yerushalayim, Il Mole Dal Seiseha, Nin Alais Balayla, Chayavin Aleha Mishum Rishus HaRabim. If the doors of Yerushalayim were not closed at night, and one carried on Shabbos, he would be chayav for Haitzah on Shabbos, since he carried in a Rishus HaRabim, i.e., since Yerushalayim had wide avenues, which were mafulash, which were open, they were both open at both ends of the city, even though it was a walled city, if the doors were open, this is called a Rishus HaRabim. That's why the doors had to be closed. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos says that any road which is 16 amos wide and has no roof is called a Rishus HaRabim. So the Rambam is very machmir in a city that has wide boulevards, because this would be called a Rishus HaRabim. Since it's a Rishus HaRabim, you would not be able to build an Eruv, a Tzuris HaPesach, but you would have to have doors which must be closed at night. Losais. Rashi here and Tosfos in Shabbos, Daf Vav Amud Beis, are more makel. And they say that in order for something to be called a Rishus HaRabim, we need an additional criterion. This criterion is the presence of 600,000 people, which is like the Bnei Yisrael war in the Midbar. Without the 600,000 people, you only have a Carmelis, not a Rishus HaRabim, and a Tzuris HaPesach would be mutter even lechatchila. Now, this 600,000, does it have to be there sometimes, or does it have to always be there? The Rosh and the Smag hold that it must be Shishim Riboy B'chol Yayim. The Rashba says, anytime. What if someone is in a car? Do they count towards the 600,000? Some say yes, and some say no, since the car itself might be Rosh HaSayachit. Vis-a-vis the Achronim, we should mention three famous Shitas, which play roles in much of the Halacha L'maisa of today. One is the Shita of the Beis Ephraim, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, a famous Pesach in Poland in the late 1700s, the Shita of the Chazon Ish, and the Shita of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. In the Kuntres Erevin in modern metropolitan areas, written by Yosef Gabriel Bechaver, he says that it seems that the generally accepted approach today is that of the Beis Ephraim. The Beis Ephraim and the Mishkanes Yaakov argue the case of Erevin in modern metropolitan areas. Their tshuvas provide the main resource of material, both the Kula, which is the Beis Ephraim, and the Chumrah, which is the Mishkanes Yaakov, on this subject. The approach of the Beis Ephraim is that the criteria of 600,000 consists of three conditions. Number one, Mitsuyim, that 600,000 people should be present in the area. Number two, Baikim, that they should frequently travel along the specific street in question. And number three, Bechoyim, that it's possible that they might all travel on that street in one day. The Chazon Ish, in a very interesting Chiddush LaHalacha, provides the halachic basis for allowing the construction of Erevin in many areas that might otherwise be precluded from enclosure by an Eruv. Two general issues considered in the discussions of the Gemara and Masechtas Erevin are Asu Rabim Muvatle Mechitza, whether the passage of many people through a wall renders it invalid, and Oimim Meruba Ala Paretz Ka'amud Dami, whether an area whose perimeter is mostly enclosed may be considered wholly enclosed. The Chazon Ish basically says that when a street, which is a Rishus HaRabim, is obstructed at some point by a wall or a building that either ends the street or causes it to deviate significantly from a straight line, it then loses its status of a Rishus HaRabim Midaraisa. A straight street only has two walls on either side of it. When, however, the street is obstructed by a building, then the building essentially becomes this third wall, qualifying it as a Rishus HaYochid Midaraisa. Based on this, the Chazon Ish builds an extraordinary Chiddush. A city in which at least one street ends in an obstructed dead end does not have a halacha of Rishus HaRabim Midaraisa. From this we derive that in our day and age, all the marketplaces and roads, and even the greatest cities, are truly only Rishus HaYochid Midaraisa. And therefore, they can be rectified with a Tzuris HaPesach. You wouldn't need losais, and therefore you could build a regular Tzuris HaPesach and an Eruv, as we call it today. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in Igros Moshe Arachayim Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Lametes, says as follows. In a city that contains a total of 600,000 people, every street, which is more than 16 amos wide, is considered a Rishus HaRabim Midaraisa. In later Chuvas, in Archaim Chedek Dalet, Simon Pei Zayin, Pei Ches, and Pei Tes, Ramesha further clarifies his approach. He says that to assume that 600,000 people frequent the streets of a city must be inhabited by 4 to 5 times that amount of people. He refines this approach by stating two limitations. Areas included in the municipal boundaries, but separated by geographical barriers, for example, Manhattan, which is separated from Brooklyn by a river, are not to be combined in the halachic tally. And a city whose municipal boundaries are very broad is not measured as one unit. Every 12 mil by 12 mil, which is approximately 8 miles by 8 miles, is measured separately. The rationale underlying this ruling is that the encampment of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, the source of the halachas of Eitzah and Rishuyas, was of such dimensions, Yud Beis Mil al Yud Beis Mil. These are therefore the defining dimensions of a Rishus Harabim. Based on these interpretations, given the high population density of Manhattan and Flatbush, Rav Moshe Zeker Tzadik Livracha, Aser is building an Erev in these areas. On the other hand, in Chelek Dalet, Simon Pei Vav, he is Matir an Erev in Kew Garden Hills, Queens. There are two additional points we should mention, which are very Nageh Halacha L'maisa. One is the rule of Tzuras HaPesach Min Hatzad. The basis for all of our Eruvim today is the Tzuras HaPesach, the form of a doorway, which includes Tula Chayayim, vertical posts, attached by a kana, a horizontal beam or wire. This tikkun is learned Halacha L'maisa Mitzinai. But the Halacha L'maisa Mitzinai teaches us that this horizontal connecting wire must pass directly on top of each lechi, not on the side of the lechi. If the kana passes on the side, the Tzuras HaPesach would be pasul, because Tzuras HaPesach Min Hatzad is a psul in an Eruv. The second point is the klal of Lavud, a rule which we will see all over Masechta Erevin, as well as in Masechta Sukkah. Lavud says that a lechi, a beam, or schach, which is situated within 3 tvachim of a different object, we say that it is like it is attached to that other item. Okay, that's our hakdama. Now let's begin Masechta Erevin with the first Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah here which talks about a mavui, and the mavui that which we're talking about in this Mishnah is a mavui sasam, which is open only at one end. And we say that this is taller than 20 amas. If it's taller than 20 amas, it's not kasha. It can only be up to 20 amas. Rabbi Yehuda says it's kasha even if it's more than 20 amas. And we also say that if it's more than 10 amas wide, it's also no good. You have to make it smaller, so it should not be 10 amas wide. But then we say, in this case, if there's a Tzuras HaPesach, even if it's more than 10 amas wide, it's kasha anyway. The Gemara brings down that a sukkah, which is more than 20 amas tall, i.e. that the schach is above 20 amas, the sukkah is pasul. The Gemara then says the Chachamim learned the shear of the opening of a mavui. In other words, that the fact that it can't be more than 10 amas wide or 20 amas high, this was learned from the Pesach of the Heichal. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, he learns that it can be up to 40 amas high. He learns this from the fact that the Heichal and the Ulam were Kedusha Achasi. Therefore, since the Ulam was 40 amas high, same thing you could equate the Heichal. Therefore, even a mavui can be up to 40 amas high and it's still kasher with a kaira on top of it. We then say that the Mishkan was equal to the Migdash, and we then say that the Mizbeach was 10 tall, the Kalayim, the curtains, were 5 above that, which meant that the whole thing was 15 tall. This is the Shita of Rashi. Then the Gemara asks, how are you able to be Mesakin, the doorway of a Mavoi? Beis Shammai says you need a Lechi, Vikaira. So you need both a lechi and a kaira. You need both a vertical pole and a horizontal beam on top. And Beis Hillel says you can have either a lechi or a kaira. Daf Gimel. In order for a kaira, this horizontal beam, to be kosher, it has to be strong enough to either hold bricks or it has to be at least 4 tvachim wide. I think Gemara says that the Pesach of the Ulam had 5 amal tera'os. Amal tera'os are decorations which were above the entrance to the Ulam. And still we learned that the whole thing was only 20 amas high. So you see that the amal tera'os didn't make any difference. The fact the amal tera'os were part of that, still they were below 20 amas. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak brings down kaira tamamai. What is the reason we need a kaira on top? We say mishum hakaira. A person will be makir, he'll recognize the fact that there's a kaira on top. It will remind him that this is part of something else, and he'll realize not to carry out into the Rishus HaRabim. So according to him, a mavui can't be more than 20 amas high, not because of the heichal, but because he won't be able to see it, and he won't be able to recognize the kaira on top, as the Gemara uses the term lo shalta bi'enav. In that kind of a case, if it's more than 20 amas high, then you would need a Tzuras HaPesach.
We also have the same machlekes about 20 amas in by a sukkah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even if it's more than 20 amas high, it's okay. But according to the Rabbanan, the maximum is 20 amas because leishalta b'yena. We bring down the pasuk leman yedu darisechem ki basukah yisayshafti is b'nei Yisrael. Leman yedu, meaning a person has to be aware that he's going into a sukkah and he should be able to see the schach on top. But if it goes over 20 amas, he wouldn't be yedu anymore. In Shulchan Aruch, Shin Samach Gimel, Sif Chaf Vav, we paskin like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that even if it's over 20 amas high, normally it's not kosher if it goes over 20 amas high, but there are two exceptions to this. One is if you have a kaira with an amaltera on top, then it can be over 20 amas. Why? Because the amaltera itself acts as a hakera. Or if you have a tzuras ha-pesach, in both of those two cases it can be over 20 amas, otherwise you cannot go over 20 amas by a kaira. The Gemara then brings down miktsas kaira or miktsas schach yoyser michaf. Let's say part of the kaira or part of the schach goes over 20. Basically, it's under 20, but part of it goes over. Then we say by a case of a kaira, it's kosher. By a case of a sukkah, it's pasul. Why? Because by a kaira, we say the klal of kloish. We could actually thin out, if we wanted to be able to cut down this thick, let's say the kaira is fairly thick, we could thin it out to the point so that the bottom of the kara, whatever is left over after we thin it out, falls below the 20. Therefore, since it's possible to do that by a kara, it's okay. However, by sukkah, you can't say klesh, because if you end up saying klesh, you'll be left with virtually no schach, and it'll end up that chamasa is meruba mitzilasa. And since we know by sukkah, if there's more sun that's able to get in more than the shade, it's possible. So you can't say klesh by a sukkah. Therefore, by a sukkah, even if part of it goes over the 20, it's not kosher. Ravina gives a different answer. He says by a sukkah we're dealing with a deraisa. Therefore we're machmer by a sukkah. But Mobi is mirabon, and therefore we go lekula. We paskin like Rava, that both of them, both by a sukkah and by a mavui, if part of it goes over 20 amas, it's kosher anyway. Then we have the gemara of what exactly is the shear of an amma. We say that amas mavui and amas of a sukkah, we go lahachmer. There's a question of whether an amma is 5 tvachim or 6 tvachim. In those cases, we go lahachmer and we say that they are 5 tvachim. But amas klayim, we go lahachmer and we say that they are 6 tvachim. How this ends up working out basically is we always go lahachmer, meaning to say when we're dealing with cases of maximums, we say 5 tvachim is the shear. And when we're dealing in cases of minimums, we say 6 tvachim becomes the shear. We then say that a daifin akuma by sukkah, daifin akuma is, if you look from the top, looking down onto the schach of the sukkah, if there's a space between the schach kasher of the sukkah and the daifin, the walls of the sukkah, that is more than dalet amos. So what you have is a lot of space that's closed off on the top, completely closed off, but schach is sort of in the middle. As long as there is less than dalet amos between where the schach ends and the point of the walls, it's kasher. Otherwise, it's pasul. It goes more than dalet amos. In that case, we use the shear of 5 tvachim. Then we'd bring down the Shita of Rava, which is how we paskin that all amas are considered an amma bas shisha tvachim. We use 6 tvachim as the shear for an amma. And incidentally, a tefach is equal to dalet etzbois. However, we could vary the size of the tefach. We always use 6 tvachim. We can vary the size of a tefach to either use tvachim that are seichakais, which are loose fingers of a person, or savais, which are tight fingers of a person. The Gemara brings down a number of cases regarding kelayim, karachas hakerem, and mechel hakerem. Karachas hakerem is a case of an empty space in the middle, and mechel hakerem is a space on the side of the kerem. This basically is talking about when you plant one kind of vegetable, and now you want to plant something else. What is the space that you need within the kerem to leave before planting something else? According to Beis Hillel, you need 12 amas. According to Beis Shammai, you need 16 amas. Daf Dalet. Kol amma bas shisha. Chutz me'ama yisoid hamizbeach. All amas are considered bas shisha tvachim, except we say the amma of the yisoid, which is the foundation of the mizbeach, that was an amma which was only 5 tvachim. And the Gemara then says all shiurim, shiurim chatzitza, machitza, achila, etc., are all halacha l'moshe misina. And the Gemara asks, this is not true. We have numerous psukim, mamish in the Torah, which prove that some of these shiurim are not halacha l'moshe misina because we have psukim beferish in the Torah. For example, the pasuk of Eretz Chita Se'ira, talking about the Shiva Minim, from this we learn, for example, Te'ena. One of the Shiva Minim is Te'ena. From Te'ena we learn the Shir of Hoitza is Kegregris. Also we know Zayas, for example, which is one of the Shiva Minim, we learn the Shir of Kezayas. We also know Kol Vesare, which the Pasuk in the Torah teaches you that the Shir of Mikvah is Arbaim Sa, 40 Sa, and Chatzitza regarding hair. We also know that Hashamayim Shamayim Lashem, we learn that a Shir of a Mechitza is 10 Tvachim. How do we see this? Because the Aron was 1.5 Amos, which is 9 Tvachim, and the Kaparis was 1 Tapa. That's a total of 10 Tvachim. And since the Shechina only touched the top of the Kaparis, then there was a Mechitza of 10 Tvachim between the Shechina and the Aretz. Hashamayim Shamayim Lashem, the Aretz, and Sam Livnei Adam, the distance between the Shechina and the Aretz was a total of 10 Tvachim. So we see from all this that a lot of this is Nidaraisa. So why are we saying it's only Halacha L'Moshe Mitzvah? So the Gemara basically says that this particular pasuk is only an asmachta b'alma. Really, it is halacha l'moshe mitzvah, but these are just asmachtas. Let's say, for example, a kare is more than 20 amas. So how do you solve this problem? The Gemara offers a suggestion. What you could do is you could actually raise the floor up a little bit, so that now it's going to be less than 20 amas. If it's 21 amas and you raise the floor slightly, one amma, now you're down to 20. So the question is, how far inward does he have to actually raise the floor to be yaitz of this, so he's now less than 20 amas? This is a machlokes Rabbi Yosef and Abaye. Rabbi Yosef has 1 tefach, and Abaye says 4 tefachim. This machlokes is basically tali. In the machlokes, if you're allowed to carry mamish under a kaira, Rabbi Yosef says yes, you're allowed to carry it under a kaira. Therefore, as long as you have 1 tefach inward, that's already fine. We actually pass him yes in Shin Samach Gimel Chaf Vav that you are allowed to carry under a kaira. Or we say, it's told in the machlekes, if kare is mishum heker or mishum mechitza. Is the purpose of a kare so a person should be able to be makir and recognize that he's about to walk into a rishus haram, or is it because of a mechitza? And since Rabbi Yosef holds that it's mishum heker, that's why he says you only need 1 tefach. Dafhe. Let's say, for example, you have just the opposite case. Instead of it being taller than 20 amas, now it's shorter than 10 tefachim. But this is actually a bigger question, because not only is it shorter than 10 tefachim, which makes the entranceway no good, now you have no mechitzas either, because the entire mavui is now shorter than 10 tefachim. So how far into the mavui would a person have to dig to get the vertical distance, the vertical height of the mavui higher than 10 tefachim? Rabbi Yosef says you have to dig into it 4 tefachim, and Abaye says you have to dig 4 amas. The Gemara then continues with complex shakla v'tarya on what exactly the svaras of machlokes are between Rabbi Yosef and Abaye. Later on, the Gemara then mentions a mavui which has a breach in it, and the breach is on the side of the mavui. In other words, there's now a breach, a break in the wall on one of the side walls of the mavui. And this break is fairly close to the front entrance of the mavui. Klape Raisha, as the Gemara calls it. So we say, as long as there's a piece left over of at least Dalet Tfachim, so then you could have a breach in the wall as big as 10 Amos, and the mavui is still kosher. It's still a good mavui, and you could still put up something, a simen, or put up a kaira, or whatever, in order to make it a kasher, a mavui, to be able to carry it. So what's basically happening here in this wall is the breach is almost right at the front. It's on the side wall, but it's almost touching the entranceway to the mavui. So as long as this perpendicular piece that connects the side wall together with the kaira at the entrance of the mavui is at least 4 tefachim, the breach running down the side of the mavui can be as long as 10 amas long, and it's still okay. Now, why is this so? If you have a breach that big, you now have an alternate entrance way to the mavui. So why should it be kosher? Because we basically say, since this area of 4 tvachim, which is now left on the wall, on the side part of the wall, that together with the kara already constitutes a kosher mavui, because you have a kara in the front, and you have a wall which is now 4 tvachim long along the side. So even if there's a breach, it shouldn't really matter, because now you already have a kasher amavui. And since you have a kasher amavui, this kaira, which is now the front entranceway, technically, is the only way into this mavui, as it relates to the 4 tvachim that are left over on the side. So what's going on the side with the 10 amas and the breach really doesn't matter. Although that is an alternate entranceway to the Mavoi, but it's not an alternate entranceway in regard to the four tefachim that are left. Because if you took away the entire Mavoi, the fact that you have the four tefachim left there on the side, that would already be a kashra Mavoi. Continuing on Daf Hei, we said that a Mavoi cannot become mutter via lechi and a kaira unless there are two chatzeras leading into the Mavoi, and at least two houses leading into each chatzer. We also say that a Mavoi has to be longer in length than in width. The Gemara says that a lechi, which is bailet, which sticks out from the wall of the Mavoi, and this lechi is more than dalet amas wide. So we say that you need a lechi acher, you need a lechi on the opposite wall. Unless it's clearly nicker that this is a lechi. Why? Because basically this thing that's four amas wide now doesn't look like a lechi anymore, it looks like a wall. And this whole psul we only say if the entranceway to the Mavoi is more than 8 amas wide. Because in case it's less than 8 amas wide, the fact that this thing is 4 amas, now you've got, let's say it's 7 amas wide in total. So 4 of the amas are the lechi, and 3 amas are left as the rest of the entranceway. That's already okay, because that's almost as if there is no need to have a lechi anymore. Now it becomes like a mechitza. And we say, Oymid Maruba al Haparetz, as long as what's standing is more than what is actually broken down, it's mutter, and you don't need anything. It's considered like a full wall. So here, if the whole thing is 7 amas wide, you've got Oymid 4 amas, you have Paretz, which is 3 amas, so Oymid Maruba al Haparetz, what's standing is more, therefore it's kosher. Let's say it's exactly 8 amas wide, and now you have this lechi, quote-unquote lechi, which is 4 amas, then it's also okay, because we say it's Safek D'Rabbanan, and Safek D'Rabbanan is Lahakal. Daf Vav. Here we have the Machlekes of Pirtza. What happens if there is a breach in the wall? How big of a breach makes the Mavoi, puts the Mavoi into a situation where you wouldn't be allowed to carry within the Mavoi? According to Rav, if it's a Pirtza that's on the side of the wall, all the way on the side, within a side wall, the breach can be up to 10 amas wide, and it's not considered enough of a breach to passel the area, so you wouldn't be allowed to carry into it. Of course, this is all speaking about if everything else is okay. If you have a kare and a kare or a lechi, in that kind of a situation, we're speaking about a mavoi with a kare or a lechi. Now the breach comes in, that's what we're talking about. Obviously, if there's no lechi or kare, you can't carry in the mavoi anyway. So when we speak about a breach, we speak about where everything is basically kosher within the mavoi, and now you have this breach there. So he says if it's on the side of the wall, it can be up to 10 amas wide, and then everything is fine. However, if it's meirayshai, if it's mamish towards the front, as you get towards the kare in that area, which is speaking about a keren zavis, at the corner of the front of the mavoi, then he would say only up to dal tvachim can the breach be mutter. Otherwise, if it's more than dal tvachim, then that passes the whole mavoi. Rav Huna says in any situation, we're lahachmir, and you only get up to dal tvachim, no matter where it is. Up to Dalat Tvachim, if it's more than that, it passes the Mavoi. And we even say that the Kula of Rav of 10 Amos is only speaking about a situation, Deloi Baki Bay Rabbim, if a lot of people don't go through that side. But if a lot of people do go through that side, even according to Rav, he would be Machmer, then it would only be able to be a Pirtza up to Dalat Tvachim. The Gemara then speaks about a Mavoi Akum, as opposed to being just a regular straight mavoi. This is a mavoi akum, which is crooked. It's basically shaped like a dalet. So it's almost like two mavois that turn. Rav holds this kind of a mavoi is considered kimafulash. It's like a mavoi mafulash, which is opened at both ends. Therefore, you need a lechi at each of the two ends, and you need a tsuras ha-pesach at the point where it turns, where it makes a 90-degree turn. Because a lechi is not enough in a mavoi mafulash. And according to Shmuel, it's considered like a mavoi sasam. Therefore, all you need is a lechi at each end. Then we have the famous sugya of Eruvin, basically, of today. Tana Rabbanan, Ketzad Ma'arvin, Birshus Harabim. How do you take something which is a Rishus Harabim and put something around it, as we today, quote-unquote, call it an Eruv? How do you deal with that, to take something out of the klal of Rishus Harabim and make it into one big area so people can carry within that area? So we say it's a machlokes Tanakama and Chananya. Tanakama says that you need a tzuras ha-pesach on one side, and a kaira or a lechi on the other side. And Chananya says, you also need dalsois, you need doors on one of the sides. So basically what we have here regarding a Rishus HaRabim, many, many shitas. These are all brought down in Shin Mem Hei, in the Bir Halacha there. What we basically have is Rashi holds that a Rishus HaRabim, in order for something to be considered a Rishus HaRabim, it has to be 16 amas wide, which we know from the Mishkan, we know this from earlier in Masechet Shabbos. We know that it has to be a straight street. It has to have 600,000 people, which is the Anshei Midbarius, which is brought down in Tosfos and Shabbos. And it has to be a city without a wall. Other Rishonim say, the 600,000 doesn't mean that there have to be 600,000 people in the city, but it has to be the street that we're talking about, the street that's involved, that street has to be used by 600,000 people. The Rambam, the Ramban, and the Rajba don't agree with this klal of 600,000 people at all. And they say that for something to be considered a Rishus HaRabim Daraisa, it only needs the other things that we mentioned. 16 amas wide, a straight street, and a city without a wall. But it does not need 600,000. Again, for all the details on the inyan, Ayin B'Shulchan Aruch, Simon Shin Mem Hei, where all the different shitas of the Arba Rishuyas and the different shitas Lagabi Shishim Ribui are brought down. Now, when we spoke about the Shita of Chananya, when we spoke about Dalsais, these Dalsais in the Gemara can be referring to a number of things. Either they can be referring to a Tzuras HaPesach on one side and Kari and Lechi on the other, where you have a Dalsis included in that. Or we have the Shita of Beis Shammai, which says you have to have closed doors on both sides. Or the Shita of Beis Hillel, which is a door on one side, and a Kari and a Lechi on the other. The Gemara also adds, since the doors of Yerushalayim were closed every night, it was not a Rishus HaRabim, because it had the Dalsis. We also say that the Dalsis of Chananya don't mamish have to be closed, but they have to be roy to be closed. They have to be at least roy to be closed, since the people can always walk through them. Then what would happen is, Asu Rabim Umavatle Mechitzta. You'd have people walking through all the time. And it would, of course, become like a Rishus HaRabim. For some interesting reading on the subject of Rishus HaRabim and on Eruvim, you can take a look at Igros Moshe, or Chaim Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Lamed Tes, where he speaks about Mechitza, he speaks about an Eruv in Manhattan, and he assers Eruvim in Manhattan. And in Chaim Chelek Dalet, Simen Pei Vav, where he's Matir, the Kew Garden Hills Eruv, but he assers the Flatbush Eruv in Simen Pei Zayin and Pei Ches. And basically, a lot of what Ramesha brings down centers around the notion of what exactly constitutes a Rishus HaRabim. And is Manhattan, in fact, a Rishus HaRabim? And is Flatbush, in effect, a Rishus HaRabim? If you can establish that these are or are not Rishus HaRabims, that would have a very major influence on whether or whether or not you can make a Tzuras HaPesach around that whole area to take it out of the klal of what it is and allow people to carry within it. Most of it revolves around that. Ayin Shum, for more detail. The Gemara then brings down the case of Mavui de Nehardo, which was a case of a double Mavui Akum, a Mavui that was shaped like a Ches. So what it had is you had two Mavui Akums. In this case, you need more than just a Mavui Akum. You need Shtei Lechayayim and Shtei Dalsois. You need one Lechi at each end, and you need one dalas at each of the two turns. The Gemara says, why is that true? Because Ram Yalei Chumra de Rav, the Ram Yalei Chumra de Shmuel. What are these two Chumras? We hold, like the Chumra of Rav, that Teirasei Ba'akum is Kemefulish. A Movi Akum is considered like a Movi Mefulish. And in addition, we hold like the Chumra of Shmuel, that Mefulish, once something is already established as a Movi Mefulish, it needs dalsais, it needs doors, and a Tzuras HaPesach is not enough in that kind of a situation. The Gemara then asks, "Umi abdinan kitrei chumri? How can you hold like two chumras? Didn't we learn, basically we paskin the halacha is ke Beis Hillel. We paskin in everything where there's a machlokes Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, the halacha is always like Beis Hillel. But the Gemara says, if you want to always do like Beis Shammai, that's fine. As long as you're consistent about doing it, you can do it that way. And if you want, v'imreitza k'beisilaloitza, if you want to do everything like beisil, that's fine too. The key is that you're consistent, and that you always do like either the kulas and the chumras of one, or the kulas and the chumras like the other. However, the Gemara says, mikulei beisil u'mikulei beishame. Let's say you want to hold like all the kulas. If you hold like all the kulas, you're considered a rasha. U'michame beishame, u'michame beisil. If you do like all the chumras of both beisil and beishame. Olav akosav haksil b'choshech haylech. You're like a fool in the dark. So although the key is to be consistent, if you end up doing like the chumras of both, you're like a fool in the dark. So how is it possible that the people in Nahar Da were machmer like both Rav and Shmuel? In the case that we mentioned before, by the Akum, by the Mavoy Akum of Nahar Da. So the Gemara answers, on Daf Zayin, moving on to Daf Zayin, Kan Koydim Baskoil. Kan Achar Baskoil. Depending on when it was. Times that we were talking about the case of Nahar Da, that was Koydim Baskoil. Therefore they were able to Paskin any way they wanted to. We didn't know that the Halacha was like Beisil. Or we could say that it was speaking of a case, Lefi Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua did not hold to the Baskal. And this specifically is referred to the case in the Gemara in Baba Metzia, Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis, which talks about a machlekes with Rabbi Eliezer. It was talking about a certain type of an oven. And what happened, a Baskal came out and said that we follow Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua, however, got up and told everybody not to listen to the Baskal. Why? Because the Torah teaches us, the Torah is lay b'shamayim. Torah is given to all the people. So it's the people who have to paskin the halacha. So he didn't hold the baskal. So it could be talking about him also, or people who don't hold the baskal. The Gemara then answers, the only time we don't follow, you're not allowed to follow two chumras, is if they actually contradict each other. However, if there are cases where they don't really contradict each other, then you're allowed to follow two chumras. The Gemara brings down numerous cases here, where they try to establish differences between cases where they conflict with one another and cases where they don't. Specifically, the Gemara brings down, as we know, when a person dies, he can give over tuma to Adam, Kalim, or Achila through either tumas maga, either touching, or tumas ayil, being under the same roof with this particular dead body. So we know tumas maga could be imparted even in something very, very small. The question comes up, what about tumas ayil? Now, if you have cases of Shedra or Gulgailus, which are the spine of an animal or the skull of a human being, how much has to be missing from these things so it will not be able to be Matama via Tumas Oil? So it comes out, we end up paskening like the Chumras of both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, given the specifics of the case in the Gemara. The Gemara also brings down the case of Rabbi Akiva, who is machmer like both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai regarding Rosh Hashanah l'Ilanos. We know that there's a 7-year cycle of Shemitah. Each of them are broken into two parts, years 1, 2, and 3, and years 4, 5, and 6. Year 7 is obviously Shemitah. Years 1, 2, and 3, you give Ma'aser Rishon. Years 4, 5, and 6, you also give Ma'aser Rishon. However, there's a difference between when you give Ma'aser Sheni and Ma'aser Ani. In years 1 and 2 of the cycle, you give Ma'aser Sheni, and in year 3, you give Ma'aser Ani. Now, there's a machlekes regarding Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai when Rosh Hashanah l'Ilanos is. According to Beis Hillel, it's on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. According to Beis Shammai, it's on Tu B'Shvat. So let's say a person is standing on Zion Shvat, on the border of the second and the third year. Does he give Ma'aser Sheni or Ma'aser Ani? Because in years 1 and 2, he gives Ma'aser Sheni. In year 3, he gives Ma'aser Ani. But if it's Zion Shvat, is that considered like year 2, where you would give Ma'aser Sheni? Or is that considered like year 3, that you would give Ma'aser Ani? So Rabbi Akiva was machmer like both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, and he gave both Ma'aser Sheni and Ma'aser Ani. So basically, the Gemara ends up that you can really follow any one of the shitas as long as you are consistent. We have a kasha. We know from the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, we learned that you're not allowed to just follow one or the other. We learned that if you're dealing with a halacha deraisa and there's a machlokes, you should go like the machmer. And if it's a halacha midrabbanan, then you should go like the mekel. So how do we say here you're allowed to follow either or, whichever one you want? The Meiri says that here in the Gemara we're speaking by a very big Talmud Chacham, who can technically make the choice between whether he wants to hold like Beis Hillel or like Beis Shammai. But when you're dealing with regular people, you should actually follow this Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and therefore when there's a Machlekes, you should go like the Machmer when you're dealing with an Issa Deraisa, and like the Mekel when you're dealing with an Issa Derabbanan. In speaking about a Rishus HaRabim, we say that there are a number of types of Rishus HaRabim. There's a Sratya and a Platya. A Sratya is a main street, which constitutes a Rishus HaRabim, and a Platya is a marketplace. Both of these two are Rishus HaRabims. We said that Hanania only says his Chumrah of Dalsais, which we mentioned before, if a Mavoi has a Rishus HaRabim, i.e. a Sratya or a Platya, at both ends of the Mavoi. But if it has a Bika, and a Bika is like a valley, which is considered a Carmelist at one end, then it's okay to have a Tzuris HaPesach at one end, and a Kari Arlechi at the other. Incidentally, we don't paskin like Hanania. Then the Gemara brings down a case of a Rechava, which is a backyard, which is really not used very much, rarely used. If the Mavui leads into a Rechava, then you don't need anything on that side. This is obviously a Chiddush. Tafches. This whole heter of Rechava, of the backyard, that's only if the Mavui is in the middle of the Rechava. In other words, the Mavui ends up coming in directly in at the center of the Rechava, but not if it's Kola Litzida, Litzidei Rechava. If it comes in from the side, not centered, or if it comes in sort of in the center, but not mamish at the center of the Rechava, then this heter does not apply. You can see this if you have the Perish Chai in diagram number 73. And not only that, in order for it to be mutter, the whole heter of Rechava, the Rechava cannot belong to a private person. The Rechava has to belong to public, to more than one person. Because if it belongs to a private person, he could change the situation at any whim. Whenever he wants to, he could change the situation of the Rechava. The Gemara then brings down a case where one side of the Mavoi is a Yam, and we say a Yam, and we mean that it's 10 Tvachim deep. And it has to become 10 Tvachim deep fairly quickly. It has to happen 10 Tvachim deep within a distance of 4 Amas. So it has to be quite quickly, it cannot be too gradual. And the other side of the Mavoi is garbage, which is at least 10 Tvachim high. This particular situation can be seen in Venice, Italy, where the Venice ghetto is surrounded on a number of sides by waterways and bridges that go over the waterways. So it's very possible to have garbage at one end of a Mavoi and the Yam at the other end of the Mavoi. We say that Rebbe was Mesupik in this particular case. But we do say that it's okay for a person to stand on his balcony and throw garbage from his balcony onto this pile of garbage, which is more, 10 tfachim, which is more than 10 tfachim tall. This, however, is only a case where this pile of garbage, which is more than 10 tefachim tall, is a public garbage. However, if it was a private garbage, you're not allowed to do that, because again, like we said before, a person could change the situation and remove the garbage. The Mishnah Berurah says, we're not saimach on a mechitza of a sea, since at any time, as you know, when you go to a beach, the sand could come washing up onto the ground, could come washing up onto the gradual part of the sea, which is 10 tefachim, and could fill it in so that it's not 10 tefachim deep anymore. So we can't be saimach on that. However, we can be saimach on this by a river or by a canal where we don't have sand if this could potentially happen. We also say that a lechi must be strong enough to withstand wind, otherwise it's pasul. Unless you connect the lechi with a nail, if you connect the lechi with a nail, then it's always kasher. The Gemara then brings down a case of a mavui or asui kinadil, a mavui which is like a centipede. It's a large mavui with many right-angle mavuyos branching off from it. So Rava says each small mavui needs a tzuris ha-pesach at one end and a lechi and a kaira at the other. The Gemara then says if one side of the mavui is longer than the other, so what you have is it's sticking out a little bit, are you allowed to put a kaira up on top diagonally? Rava says no. Since the kaira's purpose is for a heker, you're not going to be able to see it anymore. Rav Kahana says yes, it's the purpose of a kaira is for a mechitza. Now you still have a mechitza. We paskin like Rava. However, although a kaira is not mutter, a tzuris ha-pesach in that situation is mutter. Then we ask, are you allowed to stand under a kaira mamish directly under the kaira and carry? Shmuel and Reb Shimon say that it's aser, and Reb Chi and Reb Yechanan say that it's mutter, and this is mishum heker. We paskin that it is mutter to stand under a kaira and carry. Reb Chizda says you cannot carry opposite a lechi. Why is that so? Since we know that a lechi has no shear at all. A lechi can be very, very thin. So if you're standing directly in front of the lechi, he may carry, by mistake, into a Rishus HaRabim. And Rava, incidentally, in this case, says you are allowed to carry opposite a lechi. If a kari protrudes outside the front of the mavui into the Rishus HaRabim, it's pasul. Why don't we say loved? Say, let's say it protrudes one tafach out, so say loved, and be makel with that. We say that she can't be mekel since it's not a heker anymore, since it's protruding out. We see this in the Mishnah Brura, Shin, Samach, Gimel. Daftes, we have a machloikis, what exactly is lavud? What is the distance that is permissible, that something is considered attached to the thing that it is close to? Rava says Gimel Tvachim. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says Dalet Tvachim. We paskin lavud as Gimel Tvachim. Rava also says Makam Shein Dalet al Dalet, something which doesn't have a area of Dalet Tvachim al Dalet Tvachim, is considered a Makam Petur, and it is mutter to rest things on it even in a Rishus Harabim. The Gemara then asks, can one carry something bein l'chayayim? The person is standing mamish between the two lechis. Is a person allowed to carry in that area? So the Gemara answers, if the mavoi opens up into a karmelis, then everybody says it would be usser to carry bein l'chayayim. Why? Because we say a klal of matzah min es minoi v'nir. This area now becomes very similar to the karmelis. So the mavoi and the karmelis are so similar to one another that we're afraid they'll mix the two up and they'll carry. Therefore, we say that it's usser. However, if the mavoi opens up into a rishus harabim, Abaye says that it's usser. But Rava says that it's mutter, and that's how we paskin. Since this new area now is batel, this rishus harabim becomes batel to the rest of the mavoi. The Gemara then asks, lechi shenira b'fnim v'shaveh b'chutz. Let's say the lechi is positioned in such a place that when you're standing inside the mavoi, you can see it. When you're standing outside the mavoi, you cannot see it. In other words, it's flush. Therefore, it's not visible. So we say that it's kosher. Nira b'chutz v'shaveh b'fnim. Let's say it's able to be seen from the outside, but it's flush, not able to be seen from the inside. That's a machlokes Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon b'Rebbe. And we paskin that this is also kosher, just as the other case we said before is kosher. Then we discuss cases of chutzer katana leading into a chutzer gedayla. Dafyud. We know that mavui is generally mutter with either a lechi or a kaira. What about a chutzer? As we said earlier in our hakdama, that a chutzer is more chumradik than a mavui. So we say that a chutzer is basically mutter also with one lechi, but Rabbi says you need shtei lechayayim. We also have the shita of Rabbi Yossi, which we're going to bring down later on, we do not paskin like, that he holds that a lechi can't just be a kulshu, a lechi has to be at least three tefachim wide. Then we have the question of how wide a mavui can be, so that you would be allowed to put a kari on top of it. The sheet of the Tanakhama is it has to be 10 amas, is the maximum. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it could be up to 13 and one-third amas. And he sees this from the Pase Beirais, which were the water wells which were used to feed animals. And here is a whole cheshbon about how he gets to the 13 and one-third. Let's say a mavui is 20 amas wide. We know there's no tikkun for that. At least there's no tikkun as far as a lechi or a kaira goes. There is a tikkun as far as a Tzuras HaPesach goes. But if let's say a mavui is 20 amas wide, the Gemara offers suggestions on how you can fix that. One way to do it would be to put a board down the middle of the mavui. Say, for example, you were facing into the mavui, facing northward. You could put a board right down the middle, also facing northward, which cuts the mavui into two parts. So now you have two, the left side of the mavui and the right side of the mavui. Each of them are 10 amas wide. Technically, that would seem that it would be mutter. Because what it becomes like a mavui, which is an akum. So therefore, you'd be allowed to do that. Or you could put horizontally, in other words, if the mavui is facing, you're facing northbound, looking into the mavui, you could put a horizontal board, meaning to say a board that now faces east to west, right in the front part of the mavui. And if it's 6 amas wide, you now have 10 amas on the right side, which is the mavui. You have 6 amas in the middle, which is the board. And then you have 4 amas to the left. So what happens is the part on the right becomes a regular mavui. And the part on the left becomes oymed meruba ala paris, because the part on the left is like another 10 amas mavui, 6 amas of which are this board, and 4 amas of which are like a breakage in the wall, like a pirza in the wall. The Gemara also brings down numerous other complicated cases where you have, for example, a pirza of 1 amma and a wall of 1.5, and another pirza of 1, and another one of 1.5. A lot of different complex cases are brought down, which are other ways of trying to do this. Then the Gemara asks, if you do this particular case, and you put up a board, either six, you put up a board that's 6 amas wide, Leichesh Dilma Shavik Pischa Rabba V'ayel V'Pischa Zuta. We're afraid most people are now going to go through the small entranceway and not through the large entranceway. The Gemara says, Chazaka ain't out of Meniach Pesach Gadol B'nit Nislo Pesach Kat. It's a chazaka that a person doesn't abandon a large passageway and go into a smaller passageway. Then we bring down the Rashi and Menachas. What exactly is the shear of a tefach? It can either be 4 times a thumb, 5 times an index finger, or 6 times a small finger. Daf Yud Aleph. We say that a mobi which is more than 20 amas tall, both at Suras HaPesach and an Amaltara, which are the decorations, both of those help because they trigger somebody noticing. They're a hecker. Let's say it's wider than 10 amas. Only at Suras HaPesach will help, but not an Amaltara, because if it's more than 10 amas wide, you won't notice an Amaltara, but you would notice at Suras HaPesach. We bring down the Shita of Rav, which holds Paratz Meruba Al Ha'Oimid, and a case of something which is more than 10 amas wide, even a Tzuras HaPesach will not help, and we do not pass them like this. The Gemara many times from here on out will refer to things as a pas. Pas is the same thing as a lechi. The Gemara then says a chotzer, which is ruba, openings and chaloinis. Its mutter is long as the oimid is meruba, the oimid is more than the openings and the chaloinis. We then have a case of Dalad Kundasin, 4 poles, the Arba Pinay Sasada, at the four corners, the 4 poles that are stood up on the 4 corners of the field. Umatach Zmaira Alehem, you put a vine, you connect a vine surrounding the 4 poles. So we say, Kederach Shamutu Leklayim, Kachmutu Lehitzi B'Shavas. This is according to Reish Lakish. Just like these 4 poles with the vine around it acts as a separation for Kalayim, that it's considered a mechitza, and therefore it's mutter to plant a second kind of a plant on the other side of this mechitza. The same thing is true by Shabbos for Haitzah. According to Reish Lakish, he said this is only mutter regarding Kalayim, but it's not mutter regarding Haitzah b'Shabbos. We then say, what about a Tzuras HaPesach, which is connected to the side of the poles instead of to the top of the poles? We say this is no good. This does not help, and we paskin in Shin Samach Beis, that this is the Psak LaHalacha, that in order to connect a wire or something to the top of the lechis, of the lechayayim, it has to be to the top and not at all connected to the sides, otherwise it's no good at all. We also pass in la'alacha in Shin Samach Beis that a Tzuras HaPesach does help for something which is more than 10 amas wide, and it also helps for something which is paratz meruba al ha'aymed. Amar Reb Chisda, we say that Tzuras HaPesach has to be strong in order to be able to hold up. It has to be strong enough to be able to hold up the door. And the Gemara also says it also needs a heker of a tzir, which is a hinge at the foundation of the Tzuras HaPesach, of the lechi, in case you want to be able to put a door. Amar Talmidim of Rabashi, Talmidim said, they went to ask Rabashi this question, and the Gemara says, Amar v'lay klum, which means we paskin lahalacha, according to that we do not need a heker tzir in this particular situation. The Mishnah Berurah paskins that the side posts of a Tzuras HaPesach have to be strong enough to hold the door, but the top just has to be strong enough not to be blown away by the wind. We then ask an important question. Do the side konim of the Tzuras HaPesach have to mamish touch the top kaira, or the top string of the Tzuras HaPesach? Or can they be close enough? Do they have to mamish touch or not? According to Reb Sheshis, yes. According to Reb Nachman, they do not have to mamish touch. And that's how we pass them halacha according to Reb Nachman, that they do not have to mamish touch, but we do pass them that they have to be mamish on top of one another. We then ask a question. Does an archway have a chi of mezuzah? An archway is a kippah. And we bring down, if the archway is 10 tefachim tall and then it begins to curve at the top, everybody says chayef. If the archway is less than 3 tefachim tall and then it becomes an arch and it curves, everybody says pater. If, however, it's 4 amas wide in total, the archway, it is 3 tefachim tall, and then it curves, then we have a question of chaykakin lahashlim. According to Remeir, we say yes. According to the Chachamim, we say no. However, given the fact that we said that if it reaches 10 tefachim tall, straight, and then it begins to curve, everybody says chayev, from here we have a raya, that a Tzuras HaPesach ain tzarech liga. Tzuras HaPesach does not have to touch on the sides. Why? Because what you see from here is that the sides never really touch the mashkaif at the top at all, because of the curve. And still we see that they don't really have to touch. So from here we have a raya, but the side poles of Atzuras HaPesach do not mamish have to touch completely the top ones. But the Paiskim also bring a raya from here that the top of the Atzuras HaPesach has to be straight and tight and no sagging. And that's how we paskin today, that in Atzuras HaPesach, the string that runs across the top has to be straight and tight. And finally, we have a Mishnah, which brings down that a tikkun for a mavoi regarding Chotzah. Beis Shammai says, Alechi Yivikaira. Beis Hillel says, Alechi Orakaira. Rabbi Eliezer says, Shtei Lechayayim.